Amen. That was a wonderful singing. It's one of my favorites. Says a whole lot. Open your Bible to Romans chapter 4 as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper tonight. Romans chapter 4. We have been doing a series on what did God do with our sin when we came to Him through His Son Jesus Christ. And God had used many analogies and metaphors to communicate repeatedly over and over and over. The deal's done. It's sealed. You're safe. Stay the course for what I have charted out for you. And yet we live in a time where, first of all, we struggle because we know we're not perfect. We struggle with sin, temptation, disobedience, sins of actions, sins of attitudes. We're pretty good at not doing the action, but boy, we still struggle with those sins within: pride, greed, bitterness, unforgiveness, refusal to reconcile with people. The list goes on. And because of it, we struggle with our assurance as a result of that. And yet, everything Jesus did put a finality to our security. And all of these things and metaphors to stress that. Tonight we're going to learn about another one. We've heard it often. I want to expand on it. Hopefully you can appreciate the depth and the richness of what He did on our behalf. Before we go any farther, let's pray. Father, we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for His work on the cross on our behalf as our substitute who took our place, the just for the unjust. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Amazing love. And Father, help us to not slip into doubts and unbelief to what You have stated clearly, what You have done for those who have put their faith in Christ, who are in Christ, who are truly born again, who'd been given the down payment, the earnest of the Holy Spirit living within. We of all people should bask and rejoice in these great truths and let it spawn a depth of worship and passion and zeal for service like no other when we come to grips of these great truths. We know You're a God who is perfect, infinite in every way. You are truly faithful. Help us to glory in that and rest in that. Help us tonight to enjoy another strain of Your work on our behalf for Your glory and our eternal good. In Jesus' name, amen. Though I had you turn to Romans 4, stay there. Let me warm up by simply saying when I have started this series almost a year ago with this verse, Hebrews 10:23, this is the one that I'll always flow from because this is the thing that set the foundation. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast to that confession of our hope. What are you trusting in? What are you hoping in? Jesus died in my place. Then hold fast to that. That's the idea. It's the idea of white knuckle grip. Hold fast without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. The Bible is very clear. I can't say it any better than 1 John 5:11-12. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Clear. You have the Son, you have life. Rejoice in it. Glory in it. Live in from that. So we embark on a journey of several things that God had done with our sin. We have learned so far that God has thrown our sin into the depth of the sea. The idea of hurled it. And it went way out and way down. Number two, the fact that God tread upon our sins underfoot. He stomped on it and ground it, never to be seen anymore. Thirdly, we learn that God threw our sins behind his back, never to be brought out in front of him again, forever behind him. He had removed our sins. I loved it. It was one of my favorite, as far as the east is from the west. My sin went that way. I went that way. They too will never meet again. How glorious is that? God laid our sin on his Son. He had blotted out the stain of our sin. He had forgiven us of our sin. He had cleansed us of our sin. Tonight I want to talk about the fact that he has covered our sin. Look at Romans 4. Look at verse 7 and 8 with me. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That is a quote out of Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he who transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Paul used it in the book of Romans, in that great chapter on justification by faith alone. Talked about cleansing, forgiveness, where sin will not be imputed instead of our sin. In fact, our sins were imputed to Christ. He bore the brunt of it. He imputed his righteousness to us. What we have here, the idea is that he has covered our sin by the blood of his Son. Covered it so completely and so thoroughly that our sins will never rise up again to condemn us. Never will there be new evidence in God's court because the evidence has been covered, dealt with, taken care of. I like what Sam Thorne's in opening his chapter on this particular topic, which really points to a pertinent thing here. Everyone to one degree or another fear exposure. There are some who live in constant fear of it and have cultivated relational styles that work well at keeping others at arm's length. A few intently work on developing a personality type that will guard their hearts and hide their faults. They are terrified that if anyone were to see them as they know themselves to be, the result would be rejection or mockery. The very notion of being exposed to others is paralyzing. Such people are so convinced that they devote themselves to the covering up of every conceivable flaw in their life. To be known and seen is to run the risk of being cast aside as unworthy. It takes profound confidence in God's acceptance of oneself to peel back the layer of self-protection than letting others in, end quote. We see that often today. We have to answer the question, why do we cover things? Why do we cover up? But let's in general talk about the topic for a moment. Sometimes we cover our eyes, let we see something, lest it freezes an image in our mind that we'll have nightmares at night from it. Sometimes we shelter a kid from seeing certain things that we know that will be troubling in the days ahead. Sometimes we cover our track, let someone to see that we were present in a place where we should not have been. Sometimes we cover for a friend by taking the blame for their crimes or sins that they have committed. Sometimes we hear of a story and we can just smell there's a cover up here. There's somebody being protected here. Some person, politician, famous person, whoever, there is a cover up. And of course, we know the ultimate cover up. Adam and Eve cover themselves of their own nakedness, lest they would be seen and experience the shame of exposure, which who honestly can think they can hide from God? And yet, that was their instinct to cover up, to avoid shame, guilt, exposure. Other times we cover things, keep things warm, cover things to protect somebody. Something danger, you get in front of your kid to protect them, you cover them. In the case of our sin, the reason why God covers our sin is for one reason and one reason only. And that is to hide him from view. The promise that God will cover our sin did not seem that he will, cover our sin does not mean that for certain that no one will find out about what we have done and the things we have been accredited to. We learned that in David's case. Though he was forgiven, his sin was covered. That's where the Psalm 32 comes from. But the whole world who'd ever read the Bible knows about David's sin. But that's beside the point. Doesn't matter what others think. Truth is, there are some people out there that are just unforgiving. They will just never let you forget your horrible failure. Though God had forgiven you, God had received you, God had accepted you, God had covered your sin. The point here is that our sins have been forever covered by God through the blood of Jesus Christ, in the sense that they can no longer be used against us to bring condemnation or judgment, ever. God has so covered our sin with the blood of his Son that there is nothing, nothing that can come back and condemn us. Let's explore a little deeper into what we mean. God is omniscient. God sees and knows everything, absolutely everything. But the thought of God covering our sin is intended to reassure our minds and our hearts that our sins will never be exposed for the purpose of being the ground on which we might be eternally condemned. Won't happen. His covering is sufficient and perfect. Consider by way of illustration, though all illustrations fall short, but it gives us a little light and insight into the situation. Some brilliant prosecuting attorney had recently uncovered some new evidence that will lead to the conviction of a person on trial. When it comes to the security of our person in Christ, no amount of sinful evidence or proof of guilt will ever separate it from the love of God that he had for us in Christ. Why? Jesus took care of it all. When I was a young boy, one of my favorite shows, one of my favorite early detective shows was Perry Mason. Perry Mason was an awesome show. The reason is that the good guy always wins, okay? It was one of the greatest detective shows. He was the Los Angeles criminal defense attorney. Perry Mason and his team were very skillful that during the series of 9 years, they have never lost a case. Of course, that's Hollywood, we understand, but humor me for a moment because it really brings in a point. But it wasn't only due to the brilliance of the team and Perry Mason. It was also due to the fact that every person they defended was innocent. There's the twist of the story. Every one of them was innocent, and their skill was to find out the evidence to prove their innocence. And so the plot was almost always the same. Mason's team would uncover previously unknown facts or evidence that exonerated his client and implicated somebody else. It wasn't my client, it was so-and-so that did it. Here's the proof. Last bit of information, of course, the cliffhanger at the end, last 2-3 minutes, boom, Perry Mason did it again, okay? Here's the difference. Unlike Perry Mason, Jesus' clients are guilty. Every one of us are guilty to the core. Jesus has never defended a single innocent person. He makes no attempt to cover over the failures of those he represents. All the incriminating evidence is uncovered, exposed, and fully known by God himself, the judge. Notwithstanding, every one of us have been given a guilty at charge verdict by God the judge, yet we suffer no penalty. Why? All the evidence was true. All the evidence was factual. May even be known as by many far and wide. But in the case of every sinner that came to Jesus Christ for salvation, the judge had taken steps to cover the guilt. How is that? I'll have Sam Thorne answer that question. Quote, the knowledge of our sin may spread far and wide. Newspapers may carry the story with all the gory and unpleasant details, but when it comes to the effort of anyone to make use of those sins to condemn us, the heavenly judge overruled. He had taken steps to the voluntary sacrifice of our defense attorney, Jesus Christ, to fully satisfy the demands of the law. Whatever punitive consequences there may be for our spiritual felonies, Jesus had suffered them in our place. That is why God is fully just and righteous in taking steps to cover our sin. No law had been broken. No loophole had been exploited. Justice had been served, but in the person of our substitute, end quote. Don't miss that message. Though it's not a perfect analogy, the main point remains. God will allow no one to see our sin for the purpose of indicting it because it's been paid for. This is the glorious truth that Paul describes in Romans 8, 31 to 34. In fact, I encourage you to turn to there. Romans 8, just a couple chapters ahead. Romans 8, 31. Gloria chapter. Listen to these words in the light of my message here. Verse 31. What shall we say to those to these things? If God is for us, who can be against it? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So here, beloved, clearly, Who is going to bring a charge against his people whose sins had been covered? No one. It was Jesus who died for it. It is God. Doesn't matter who else wants to say they're not forgiven because they did it. But they've been forgiven and covered. Because it is God and God alone to whom the sin was again justified them. Declared them righteous. These amazing statements directly challenges one of our greatest fear that somehow, some way, some new information will make it all come crashing down. It will not happen. Talk about records that are sealed. You can't break this seal. Can't break it. Can't break it. And yet we are paralyzed by the prospect that God will make use of our sin to undermine our very existence. The bottom line is, the reason why we think like that and we struggle and waver, it is one word, unbelief. We are not persuaded that God really did lay our sin on his son in our place. And now and forever will make certain that all such sin is covered. We don't, for some reason, don't believe it. We're not persuaded. Beloved, oh beloved, our fear is fueled by unbelief. I got to know that stop unbelief. Only believe. Believe. Trust him. You're losing and robbing yourself of much comfort when you don't embrace the truth that's in Christ. Oh, take God at his word and be comforted and set free of any guilt of your sin because Jesus, your substitute, took your place. Hallelujah. That sounded good. Hallelujah. Because that's the good truth. Remember the profound declaration. Christ Jesus is the one who died for us. Verse 34. Jesus died. The penalty that those sins call for, whether they be past, present, or future, has already been paid in full. Hallelujah. How can anyone condemn you when Christ had already been condemned in your place? What left for you to suffer? He took it all. Took it all. Covered. Hallelujah. Even you can't pry it open. But you seem to want to, well, I doubt. No, perish doubt. Believe. Don't waver. Know that he who promised is faithful. Faithful to keep his word, faithful to carry out his word. Sam Thorne said this, quote, "What guilt or penalty remains that might damage your relationship with God? Should any accusation from Satan or another human being being brought against you in the court of heaven with a view to uncovering your guilt, Jesus pleads your case. Your honor, he said, the guilt for that sin had been laid on me. I died for it. Your justice had been satisfied. That sin and all others like it is covered." Oh, I love those words. That's our Lord as our advocate. He didn't simply defend it, he took our place. Now, when you understand that concept, when you go back to the passage I just said to you in Romans 8, you can understand the foundation and the basis for which Paul has said it is God who justifies. Verse 33. He and he only is the one who can declare that you are acceptable in his sight. Doesn't matter what puny man or puny people think. No matter how influential, close, or near they are to you. It is God and God alone that justifies. No objection raised by even the most clever of prosecuting attorneys will overturn his verdict. In the light of that, you should still be in Romans 8. Now let's bump into verse 35. It only makes sense, right? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long, accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Notice what he says in verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principality nor power nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth or any other created thing shall be able to separate it from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I love that last part. I have never forgotten the day I read it in a commentary. It was like Paul was saying, just in case I've forgotten them, no other created thing will be able to. Beloved, do not forget those words. Those are words to his people. Those are words to those whom Jesus died in their place. If you have put your faith in him alone, by faith alone, he has forgiven you. Be persuaded like Paul that nothing will be able to separate it from our God, for he had covered our sins, never to see them again, to condemn us. That's the idea of covering. Nothing. Jesus took our place, and our sins have been completely, thoroughly covered. There will be never anything coming back to us to condemn us, because Jesus took care of it all. Probably no better words than Jesus on the cross, it is finished. He secured it. Done. Father in heaven, we come before you, ask you to bless these encouraging words to your people, for those who had indeed put their trust in you. What a glorious thought to know that at one time, every sin we ever committed was exposed to condemn and to judge us ultimately. Then came our blessed Lord on behalf of his people, on behalf of those who would look to him and come to him by faith. Stepped in as their substitute. We know him as our Redeemer. The song we just sang, we have victory in him. Our victory only comes from him. So Lord, help us to take you at your word. You have said again and again, time and time again, how you have secured your people. Lord, help us never to take this great truth presumptuously. It's always good to examine to make sure once we have always come to the conclusion that we have come by faith alone. May we be comforted by these words, not to ever sit on our, so to speak, assurance, but to use it as fuel for service, for devotion, for worship, to dedicate our lives to live godly, to live in a way that is pleasing to you. Lord, at the end of the day, it matters what you think. We are grateful that our sins are covered only because of the great, great price and cost and sacrifice of the death of Christ on the cross, to whom we will be celebrating as we partake of the elements. May we do these things in remembrance of you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.